Tonight, I'd like to look at another character, this one from the Old Testament. This morning we did as a couple of people said, such a somewhat provocative lesson of a modern-day character that perhaps would surprise some folks as to what had occurred in his life before he died, but tonight I'd like to take a look at Samson. And I picked the title, There's Hope for All of, for the Rest of Us, or Hope for All of Us, after looking at the life of Samson. Samson is one of those characters that is mentioned. He is not written about, but Hebrews chapter 11 is, I guess, my go-to. I appreciate the chapter so much. It's referred to as the great faith chapter of the New Testament. Paul, the Hebrew writer, which I believe to be Paul, but or one of his students, wrote the book of Hebrews to encourage those Jewish Christians to remain faithful against the false teachers that were beginning to crop up in the church and were trying to lead them astray, and the other temptations and the persecutions that they were encountering in the world. And he took chapter 11 to write a tremendous treatise to encourage these folks by looking back at characters in the Old Testament that they would be familiar with. The stories would have been told down through the years, and they would have recalled them, and he went through and mentioned several and talked about them. And really, when you look at the lives of many of them, they're mentioned in that chapter, but yet their life was not always what we might define as having been faithful. They had lapses. All of them did. They're all human, and they all had lapses. But we find Samson mentioned somewhat in passing in beginning in verse 32 of chapter 11. The Hebrew writer there, after having talked in detail about several characters, says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." When we were studying the book of Hebrews, and when we would look, and even as when we were in the minor prophets in that long period that we took and studied in our Bible class, I would stand there and I would end up pointing toward that ceiling back there. These characters, these folks, these people, they were not really fictional characters as when we sometimes today think of when we discuss the characters, but these were real people that had real problems and real trials, but they were looking forward to that promise of the coming of Jesus Christ, that promise that all men at one point would be saved, that all would have the opportunity to know the Lord, that it would be written in their hearts and in their minds. it would become a part of their character. And we see Samson being mentioned there in the Great Faith chapter. And actually, in those verses, I want to go in there and look at several of those verses and see that when he was referring, of course, there are statements that are made in those verses following his mention that applied to multiple individuals. But there are several statements that were made that we can look back and we can apply them to Samson. Samson is basically, the early life of Samson is described to us in Judges beginning in chapter 13, runs through about chapter 16, discusses Samson in detail. His father was Manoah, which signifies rest. Manoah comes from the same root as Noah, who was mentioned in the in that chapter. If we look at Samson and the description of his life when we go through the book of Judges, if we were to take some things on the surface and if we were to apply our standards that we tend to do from time to time, we might say, why in the world would he mention Samson? Why would Samson be one of those people that was pointed to be someone that would be looked up to? Samson messed up a lot. He did a lot of things that were not really what we would think would be for someone that was trying to follow after God. But, I mean, in Judges chapter 14, we see that Samson, rather than marrying from among the Jews, Samson wanted an evil Philistine woman to be his wife. Beginning there in verse 1, it says that he went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah and the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. I kind of picture in some ways a little bit of impetuousness, a little bit of childishness in the statement that he made. He had godly counsel from his father, but yet he just basically said, I'll put his foot down and said, this is what I want. He made a bet during the time that they were preparing for the marriage and such, and he was snookered, so to speak, and he lost the bet. So he, in order to pay off the debt, he killed and robbed 30 men to pay off the debt. We here find this story beginning verse 12 of chapter 14. It says, then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you should give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the earth came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass in the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we may burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You opposed a riddle for the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father and my mother, so why should I explain it to you? Now she wept with on him the 7 days while the feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of the people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men and took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. This, of course, being referring to the story that we find earlier, that he had killed a lion, that he had basically torn that lion in two. We'll talk a little bit about that as we get through the lesson. And he went back and looked in the carcass sometime later. And he found a beehive in there and found honey, and he took it and he ate it, and he took it to his father and his mother as they were traveling and gave it to them. Later we find in chapter 16 that this judge, and Samson became a judge of his people, this judge went down to Gaza and found a harlot and went to a harlot. Says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, 'In the morning when it is daylight, we will kill him.'" And then, of course, the story that is told of the Philistine woman that he broke his Nazarite vow that we referred to earlier. Despite all the failings, we see that the Hebrew writer felt that he was worthy of being described in this passage, in this writing, as a faithful man of God. And let's look in that section there in the chapter 11 and see some of the things that Samson did do that would qualify him for being faithful and being a man of faith. In verse 32, the Hebrew writer there tells us that lists people that shut the mouths of lions by faith. This could be Samson as one that he was referring to. In Judges chapter 4 and 14 and verse 5, it tells us that he was going down to Timnah with his father and mother, came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. In verse 6, it tells us that he tore the lion as one who would have torn apart a young goat, as though he had nothing in his hand. He had deviated off of the path his father and his mother were going, and he went another way. This was where he encountered this young lion. Had he known, I doubt that he would have gone that way. But rather than being killed, he faced this lion in his attack. We see that, as is mentioned several times in this description of Samson, it doesn't say that he did this of his own power, but of the Spirit of the Lord coming over him. He did great things. He was a strong man and he was a powerful man, but he did great things with the strength of God. He allowed God to help him when the time was right. This is one of the redeeming qualities and one of the redeeming characters of Samson. Once he had the strength of God with him, he didn't need anything else. He tore the lion apart like it was a young goat. A young lion is powerful. A young lion can kill. There are many people that have been mauled and killed by them. Samson overcame with the strength of the Lord. we gain our strength, we're told in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, through Christ. No matter what the adversity, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And James tells us that when we endure, that we will be complete, lacking in nothing. This is that word perfect that we talked about a lot lately, that Dennis has referred to quite often, that has somewhat, we use it in a little bit different terminology today, and this may be one of the things that holds some folks back. They begin to look at themselves and they say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I can't reach that standard of perfection. I can't be perfect. Well, there was only one that was perfect. That was Christ. But we can be complete. James then said to count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith proves patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is something that I'm sure a lot of folks struggle with. We don't really like our trials. Paul rejoiced in his, but so often we look at the trials and the struggles that we have in our lives and we wonder what we've done wrong that has brought this upon us. You know, that's an idea that the religious world has propagated for many years, that the only reason that we have these struggles and these trials and these problems is because we're doing wrong. No. If that were the case, then why would Paul rejoice in the trials? And Paul went through things, folks, there's not many in our area today, if any. Now, I don't want to say in the world. There are many in the world today that are suffering religious persecution, that are being put to death, that are being beheaded. They're being thrown and imprisoned for not following after someone else's faith. But Paul rejoiced in it. He looked back to the death of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ, that perfect man who knew no sin, but yet was punished for our sins, for our shortcomings, and offered a sacrifice in lieu of us so that we could receive that salvation, that forgiveness of sin. And he rejoiced in it and felt that the things that he went through were just a small payment, so to speak, that he could make knowing what Christ had gone through. We also see in Hebrews chapter 11, over there in verse 33, we see mentioned in the middle of the verse that they performed or worked righteousness, some of these folks. Samson depended upon God. He, during a battle, slew thousands, 1,000 men. What did he use? The jawbone of a donkey. What a weapon. Just the strength that God had given him to do that. He realized that God could help him, could quench his thirst, knowing that God could. The prayer that he makes over there in chapter 15, some have thought to be disrespectful toward God. But he was acknowledging the power that God had given in his life and when he killed these men. And he did not want to have his power diminished by surrendering to one of God's enemies. He was sincere, and he was given water to revive himself. James chapter 5 and verse 16, Barney alluded to the fact when he was making announcements this evening that in the power of prayer and the thanksgiving. And James, of course, in that passage, he's referring to confessing our trespasses, admitting when we were wrong and asking forgiveness. But he makes a statement that applies in many ways in the latter part of that verse when he states, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 34, we see mentioned that those that were mentioned in this section were mighty of war, putting foreign armies to flight. One of Samson's responsibilities as a judge was to deliver God's people from oppressors. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 18, it gives us the description, the job description, so to speak, of a judge, in which it states, and when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. He was faithful in carrying out God's purposes that were set down for him. In Judges chapter 14 and in verse 4, we see that he sought out an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at the time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. In verse 8, it tells us that he attacked them, and it was a great slaughter. He attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Edom. He, as we mentioned before, in verse 15 of chapter 15, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. I don't think that there's too many human beings, don't care how powerful they are, that without the hand of God, without the protection that God would give, would they be able to perform such a feat. I haven't turned my TV on a whole lot in the last 2 or 3 years. In fact, I got tired of paying that humongous bill that I was paying for cable, wasting my resources, really, and had all that taken out. I mainly kept it because of my granddaughter when they were living next door. And I found out that they weren't even watching it. They didn't even have the box hooked up. I had two boxes and didn't have either one of them hooked up. They were using other means of watching things. So I had it taken out and cut my bill by about 75% by just keeping my internet service. That lady wasn't real happy when she called me at work the other day and tried to offer me those fabulous deals to get hooked up, and I kept saying, ma'am, I'm just not interested. And she must have really been under pressure to get me turned on, because she really didn't like it when I gave her the final, no, I'm through. I don't really need any of this. But there had been a period for a couple of years I didn't turn TV on. After I got my antenna hooked up, I started dialing around, and I stumbled and found that every night that one of the channels ran reruns, marathons really, for 4 hours. They went on 7 nights a week of Walker, Texas Ranger. And I watched that for a while, a little bit back when it was on, but I wasn't that, but I kind of got interested in it, and I'd be doing other things around the house and I would turn it on. A lot of times it'd catch me and I'd have to sit down. You know, I wish that battles and fights went that way. When there's four of them and 15 others that they attacked one at a time. Not the way it happens. It's not the way it occurs. It makes for good television, so to speak, but it's not real world. But think about it. Samson went down not with 1,000 or 2,000 people or 500 people or 300 people up against these, but he slew 1,000 men with this fresh jawbone. Not even really one that had gotten hard yet. So we can see the power that reliance upon God and the faith would give him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we see our purpose. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk within them. In the last part of that descriptive statement that's being made there in verses 36 and 37, we see mentions of mockings, of chains and imprisonment, of ill treatment, of afflicted being mentioned. Those could all be used as a descriptor of Samson. Samson, once again in a period of weakness, revealed his secret to Delilah, his wife. As a result of her trickery, he lost his strength, the strength that he had. He lost the protection that God had given him. His hair was cut. He was put in chains. They gouged his eyes out in prison, chapter 16 and verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Here was this man that had been so powerful and strong that had killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey, and he was reduced to being a mule on a grinder. Basically walking around in circles. Bound with bronze chains, powerful chains. Bronze, of course, being a stronger metal that they had at that time and that they used upon him the best to make sure that he didn't break out of those chains. They brought him to a pagan ceremony in chapter 16, beginning there in verse 23. We're told the description of the ceremony. Why'd they bring him there? They bring him there to celebrate him? No. Here he was, the one that had single-handedly killed 1,000 of the Philistines. They brought him down there in chains to mock him. Beginning there in verse 23, it says, "The Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and rejoice. They said, 'Our God has delivered us into our hands, Samson, our enemy.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead.' So it happened when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call for Samson that he may perform for us.'" They were going to use him as a kind of a sideshow performer. "Now, then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, 'Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I can lean on them.' Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson," and here's the most powerful part of the story, "called to the Lord, saying, 'O God, remember me when I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people that were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brother and all his father's household came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. He prayed one more time. He didn't rely upon his own strength, but he prayed to God for this strength, the God-given strength that God had given him to declare to destroy his enemies. He used that power. This did cause him to lose his life. But in his death, it states there that he killed more than he had killed in his life. And he died faithfully to God. In fact, you know, the Philistines were mentioned often in the Old Testament. But do you realize this is really about the last point that they're mentioned? That their power structure was killed by Samson in this event. And they never were strong like they were before. So there was a purpose to these things. We might have something that we've done in our lives that people have seen. They mock us for it. They talk under their breath about it. They gossip among one another about it. You know, there's nothing that the world likes better than to see a Christian fail. I believe that sincerely. And I know that I have done so. But we have to repent. We have to faithfully pray to God to give us strength, just like Samson. We ask Him to give us the strength to correct these things in our lives. And in doing so, the power of God will help us. God, if we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. If you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, if you've not obeyed Him, if you've not taken that step, you don't have that power that is offered. But God is faithful to those that are faithful to Him. We encourage you tonight, if you've not put on your Lord in baptism, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized, don't put it off. If you have failed in a public way, we ask you to come and repent of those things and pray for forgiveness. Pray for strength. Pray for your brethren to help you. If they're of a private nature, please go to God and ask for that strength that only He can give. If you need the prayers of the church, we're here to offer that. As Barney mentioned earlier, they can be so powerful in our lives. Whatever you need be this evening, won't you come while we stand?